Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Wednesday, September 28th, 2016, episode 12.09, the Week 4 Preview Show. Injuries, injuries, and more injuries. That's right. I'll talk about J.J. Watt being out, AP being out, Dez, question mark, Rex Ryan playing games with the Patriots, OBJ getting into a fight with a net, and our first game in London this season. Plus, Nick Swain puts up his picks against mine for Week 4, and I'm starting to roll, people. I'm starting to roll. You know why? Because
I am the smartest man alive!
That's right. Let's chomp it in!
Continuing to bring American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda with NFL Rants and Raves.
All right, I'm just going to get straight to it. There's lots to talk about in the NFL. I'll briefly touch on last week, week three. There was no show, basically, because it was crazy. I traveled to Dallas to watch Sunday Night Football as the Dallas Cowboys took on the Chicago Bears. Kind of pretty much blew them out of the water there. That was a lot of fun to watch. Unfortunately, bad news for the Dallas Cowboys. Wide receiver Dez Bryant went down early in that game. He was able to come back and play in the game, actually caught Dak Prescott's first touchdown pass in the NFL as a rookie. He hit Dez Bryant late in the fourth quarter to give the Dallas Cowboys a 31-17 point lead. But it's come out that he has a hairline fracture in his knee. Most likely will miss this week against the San Francisco 49ers, but there's a possibility of him missing up to 3 or 4 weeks. So that, of course, is bad news for Cowboy fans everywhere. Other games of interest this past weekend, well, you have to go and take a look at the Philadelphia Eagles, who took care of business. They didn't just take care of the business. They whooped up on the Pittsburgh Steelers 34-3. That's right. You heard me right. 34-3 beat down. Carson Wentz threw for 301 yards. And even though Antonio Brown was able to amass 140 receiving yards, the Pittsburgh Steelers never found the end zone. They looked pretty bad, not only on offense, but they looked horrible on defense. Another game of significance, the Miami Dolphins sneaking out an overtime win against the Cleveland Browns. Why is that game of significance? Well, more than 45% of the survivor pools had Miami to win that football game. They actually could have lost it late in the game, tied 24-24. Ryan Tannehill was sacked, and he fumbled the football, giving the Cleveland Browns perfect opportunity to kick a game-winning field goal at the end of regulation and not even go to overtime. But as it just so happened, just because they're the Cleveland Browns, the kicker misses the field goal. They go to overtime, and Miami scores a touchdown in overtime to win the game. Another game that just caught almost everybody by surprise, the Buffalo Bills get a win 33-18 over the Arizona Cardinals in a game that they just manhandled the Cardinals. Talk about two teams right now that I just have absolutely no idea who they are, the Buffalo Bills and the Arizona Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals and Buffalo Bills are both sitting there at 1-2. 1 week, they look great. This past weekend for the Buffalo Bills, a couple weekends ago for the Arizona Cardinals. But then there have been games where they just looked awful. The Buffalo Bills, of course, opening the season with that stinker. And even playing pretty poorly against the Jets on Thursday Night Football. Arizona, obviously, not being able to get the win in Week 1 against the New England Patriots. And, of course, this past week, their offense just looked horrendous. And the defense, for that matter, didn't look all that good as well. I wonder what Arians is thinking right now, because that team needs to do something. The Los Angeles Rams got their second win of the season, beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 37-32. You heard that correct. 69 points scored in that game. Jameis Winston threw for 405 yards in a losing effort. The crazy thing about this game, with about 2 minutes left to go in the game was suspended due to lightning. So the teams had to sit for several minutes. Actually, close to 30, actually. And then they came back and finished the game, and Los Angeles was able to hold on to win 37-32. But I can't believe it. You've played a whole game. You've given it all. And then with 2 minutes left, it's like, yeah, let's go in and get out of this lightning, thundery thing before we finish the game. Oh, man. The final game that just totally took my breath away, the Minnesota Vikings went into Carolina. And at Carolina, stifled Cam Newton and the Panthers, holding them to just 10 points and getting a 22-10 victory. Look, when Teddy Bridgewater went down, we all thought the Minnesota Vikings, well, I say we all thought, I certainly thought that the Vikings were done. Prior to Bridgewater going down, I had this team winning 11 or 12 games. When Teddy Bridgewater went down, I knocked them down to 5 or 6. Well, folks, they're spanking 3-0 right now. So they've already won half the games I thought they were going to win without Teddy Bridgewater. Add to the fact that they have no Adrian Peterson, because now he's been placed on the IR. I never in a million years would have thought Minnesota would go into Carolina and lay the smack down the way they did. 9 sacks of Cam Newton. Kelvin Benjamin held with 0 catches. That was an impressive victory for the Minnesota Vikings. And I'll tell you what, for everybody who does not believe the Minnesota Vikings are a team to be reckoned with, you better watch out. They are coming and playing fierce defense. And this is a team that in back-to-back weeks has held the Green Bay Packers to 14 points and the Carolina Panthers to 10 points. Up next for them, they're on the road. Actually, their next two games are at home in that beautiful new stadium of theirs. They've got the Giants on Monday Night Football on ESPN this week. And next week, they got the J.J. Watt-less Houston Texans. I'll get to that in a moment, why I call them the J.J. Watt-less Houston Texans. Then the fun begins for Minnesota. It's very possible that they could be 5-0 when they face the Philadelphia Eagles on October the 23rd. And if the Eagles kind of keep up their little mantra, we could have 5-0 Minnesota Vikings versus 4-0 Philadelphia Eagles. Why would the Eagles only be 4-0? They're on a bye this week. They're not playing this week because it's bye time in the NFL as the byes start this weekend. Oh, I also have our first game in London this week, early game between the Indianapolis Colts and the Jacksonville Jaguars. We'll get to that in a moment. Lots of good football left on the schedule for the Minnesota Vikings, and right now they are looking good, sitting pretty at 3-0. So much for week 3 in the NFL. Sorry there was no show. Like I said, travel and work and the girls doing stuff, and I'm getting ready to be the best man in my best friend's wedding, which is happening this weekend. Just all kinds of craziness. And no time to do the show. So, I thank you for continuing to follow along. Let's get to, you know what? But before I say, I want to thank Jeremy Moss, who was kind enough to send me his picks last week and put his picks up against me. Jeremy did not do so well for the fans as he made me...
I am the smartest man alive!
Thank you very much. The challenge game last week, I decided to go with the Los Angeles Rams. We only differed on 2 games to begin with, Jeremy and myself. That was the game. I had the Rams. He had the Bucks at home. Then on Monday Night Football, he had the Saints at home, and I had Atlanta on the road. I won both of those games, so I picked up 2 games on the fans and finally got on the board on the challenge game. Right now, it's fans 2, myself 1 in challenge game games. So, Jeremy, I'm on the board now. You're not going to be able to run away with it. This is to Jeremy Parker, who has put his body on the line for the fans this season. All right, let's move on and get games talking. Well, before, a little bit of news here. I said earlier the J.J. Watt-less Houston Texans. That's because J.J. Watt has injured his back again. And, you know, this force of a defender for the Houston Texans has been placed on injured reserve. He'll have to wait until next season to come back and play for Houston. There is a possibility if the Houston Texans were to go on a run here and make a push for the playoffs, maybe J.J. Watt's available late in December, maybe in January. But for the most part, I think we've probably seen the end of J.J. this season. Injuries, like I said, continue. Dez Bryant, AP's on IR. Dez Bryant was not placed on IR, but obviously he's going to miss some time now for the Dallas Cowboys. Just crazy, crazy that these injuries continue at such a high pace. The Seattle Seahawks say that Russell Wilson got hurt. He hurt his knee in the win this past weekend. But they're confident right now that Russell Wilson plays this week against the Jets. But we'll have to wait and see as time goes on. Injuries are, they're just, you know what, they're becoming commonplace now. So much so, speaking of the Seattle Seahawks and Russell Wilson, they've decided to sign free agent running back C.J. Spiller, according to head coach Pete Carroll, who confirmed on a press conference with New York Jet reporters. He says that the signing makes plenty of sense for the Seattle Seahawks because they have a banged-up backfield. That's right. Speaking of more injuries, Thomas Rawls, the second-year running back for the Seahawks, is dealing with a fibula injury. And C.J. Porras, although he's back at practice, he's got an injured hand, and probably he's going to wear a cast on that hand for another 3-4 weeks. You know, Christine Michael can't do it all up there for the Seattle Seahawks, so they signed C.J. Spiller, and he obviously sitting on his couch for the last several weeks is very happy that someone wants him to run the football, so he'll run the football for Seattle. Boom. All right, this week I'm putting my picks up against Nick Swain, and it's a lot different than last week where Jeremy and I only differed on 2 games. This week we differ on 5 games, and he will get to decide which he will make the challenge game, so we'll go through that. And since the byes have started, bye week number 1 in the NFL, 2 teams on a bye. The Green Bay Packers and Philadelphia Eagles will not see any action this weekend. They'll get to rest and relax and watch TV like the rest of us. But we'll start splitting up the games for the rest of the season. And we'll start with El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana. All right, the Kansas City Chiefs travel to Pittsburgh to face the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday Night Football on NBC, 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time. And the Pittsburgh Steelers got embarrassed last week against the Philadelphia Eagles. They were not good offensively. They were bad defensively. 34-3 beat down there. So I think maybe this week they turn it around. They get Le'Veon Bell back on the offensive side of the ball. That's certainly going to help. Not saying that D'Angelo Williams was a slouch or anything. He was great those first 2 games. Not so much last week. But nobody looked good for the Pittsburgh Steelers last week. Kansas City, meanwhile, they've been up and down. Up week 1, down the 2nd week against Houston. This last week, they bounced back. They killed the New York Jets. But they were at home. There was a home game where just everything went their way. Fitzpatrick looked awful. He threw 6 INTs. So that was pretty bad there for the New York Jets. Kansas City going on the road, not as big of a threat as Kansas City playing in Arrowhead at home, where they're just a pretty tough team to beat. I like the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they're definitely going to bounce back. The addition of Le'Veon Bell on the offensive side of the ball is going to be tremendous. Kansas City gonna struggle on the road here at Heinz. I like Pittsburgh. However, here's the first possibility for a challenge game as Nick has the Kansas City Chiefs. He says Kansas City put it all together last week, and I think they can do it again this week. Well, there you go. I think I'm going to stick with Pittsburgh on this one. I think Pittsburgh will get the win. They're a good prime time, especially nighttime football team. At home, I like them over Kansas City. Let's move on to games of the week. We'll start with the first game of the week. It's Thursday Night Football, NFL Network and CBS, 5:25 p.m. Pacific Time. The Miami Dolphins travel to Cincinnati to face the Cincinnati Bengals. And Nick and I both agree, we like Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati got embarrassed last week. They had a chance to kind of show they were one of the elite teams in the AFC against the defending Super Bowl champion, Denver Broncos. They did not match up well against them. It was not a very good game for Cincinnati last week. They wound up losing 29-17 at home. They want to bounce back. This is another home game. It's a short week. And look, the Miami Dolphins really are a kicker. A bad kicker miss away from being 0-3. Seriously. They got a win last week against Cleveland. Good for them. They made it work. But they should be thanking the Cleveland Brown kicker, who should have made a field goal at the end of regulation and sent the Dolphins to 0-3. Short week. They have to come to Cincinnati. Cincinnati's fuming themselves because they feel they let one slip away against the Denver Broncos. We both like Cincinnati to get that win on Thursday Night Football. Now, the Buffalo Bills travel to New England to face the New England Patriots. Why is this a game of the week, you say? Well, let's just start with Rex Ryan. Good old Rex Ryan, head coach of the Buffalo Bills. That's right. I don't know why I struggle with that because I kind of like Rex Ryan, but I don't know. Rex, he's an interesting cat. Let's put it that way. But here's the deal. On a conference call today between the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets, New England Jets because he used to coach over there, the New England Patriots and the Buffalo Bills, Rex Ryan did something, what you say, I guess he was trying to be funny, if you will. Sure, let's just say he was trying to be funny. Julian Edelman, who a lot of people know is the emergency quarterback for the New England Patriots, was getting asked some questions by the Buffalo media when apparently a new member of the media started to ask Julian Edelman if he was going to play as the quarterback for the New England Patriots when the Patriots took on the Buffalo Bills. It turns out that that new beat writer for the Buffalo Bills from Buffalo News was none other than Rex Ryan himself. So it took a while to kind of be funny. But here's my problem. Rex, you've been owned by Belichick and the New England Patriots for quite some time now. Why are you playing around with his team? I mean, does anybody see Bill Belichick or any other head coach for that matter jumping on a conference call, pretending to be a beat writer for the other team and asking a goofball question? Sure, it's fun. I laughed. The first time I heard it, I laughed. If you want to actually hear the call, go out to NFL.com. They have it on their website. But maybe that's not what I want from my head coach. I want him probably trying to figure out how to stop whoever is at quarterback. Because this is probably the last time you're going to face the New England Patriots without Tom Brady at the helm. Sure, you guys just played a great game against the Arizona Cardinals and beat the snot out of them. But guess what? Your backs were against the wall. You needed to do that. You were sitting there at 0-2, and if you didn't beat Arizona and you fell to 0-3, chances are you're not going to the playoffs. So, what are you going to do now, Rex? Here are the Tom Brady-less New England Patriots, and you're joking around with Julian Edelman. Ay, caramba. All right, let's see who Nick has the New England Patriots. And guess what? I'm not picking against the New England Patriots anymore. I can't do it. I really thought Miami would do it, and they played them hard for a little bit. They came back. They only lost by 7. Last week, I'm like, look, come on, it's the Houston Texans. They're sending a third-string quarterback out there to face J.J. Watt in that defense. And they got embarrassed. goose egg on the board for Houston. So I just can't. I'd like to take Buffalo. I say, hey, maybe Buffalo got it together last week. I'm taking the Buffalo Bills. Just can't do it. Not going to do it. Just can't do it. Not going to happen. We'll move on to Carolina and Atlanta. All right, so both Nick and I are taking the New England Patriots to handle the Buffalo Bills. Carolina travels to Atlanta to face the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta Falcons, a phenomenal win over the New Orleans Saints on Monday Night Football, and the Carolina Panthers looked flat. They looked uninspired. They looked so bad that...
It was bad. It had nothing. No fire, no energy, no nothing.
No nothing, people. I mean, Carolina just looked bad. Kelvin Benjamin, no catches. I mean, up until last week, Kelvin Benjamin led the league. And no catches? You can't throw him but one pass? They threw one target his way. They couldn't run the football. Couldn't get out of their way. And the Minnesota Vikings made them pay. So they're going to be a little upset. They're going to have a little chip on their shoulder. But Atlanta's feeling pretty good. We rolled the New Orleans Saints. We went into New Orleans, a place where it was difficult to play football, and we spanked them on Monday Night Football. I don't know. I don't think they'll be able to do that against Carolina. Now, remember, though, Carolina, their only loss last season prior to the Super Bowl loss against Denver. Their only loss in the regular season came at the hands of the Atlanta Falcons. Not going to happen this week. Carolina bounces back. They'll get in shape. They'll be ready to roll. They'll get after Matt Ryan because they can. And I like Carolina. So does Nick. Nick says Cam Newton cannot have two bad to back. Blah, blah, sorry. Let me read Nick's statement again. Carolina and Cam Newton cannot have two bad back-to-back weeks. I agree with him. I'm going to roll with the Panthers, and so will he. All right, another game of the week, the Arizona Cardinals. Afternoon game, 1:25 p.m. Pacific time on Fox, hosting the Los Angeles Rams. Now look at the Rams. The Rams are all growing up and going to China. The 2-1. Yeah, but the buck stops here. They're going to Arizona, and this was going to be a tight game. Now, I would give you my lock, but this is not my lock of the week. I have another lock, people, okay? So this will not be my lock of the week. But the Los Angeles Rams are getting 8 points. 8 points. And the Arizona Cardinals haven't looked all that sharp, either at home nor away. I'm not going to say that Arizona is going to lose the game. I think Arizona wins. As a matter of fact, I am picking Arizona to win. Unlike Nick, who is thoroughly on the Los Angeles Rams bandwagon, he's taking Los Angeles. Another game for him to possibly pick as the challenge game. He's got the Rams. I've got Arizona. The line is 8. I think it's going to be close. The Rams always play the Seattle Seahawks and the Arizona Cardinals. They're very close, contested ball games. I think the Rams might lose by 6 or 7. They're not losing by 8. I would certainly take the Rams and give me the points. But Arizona's got to play better football, especially offensively. Carson Palmer is still kind of like in that little mid-funk from the end of last season. He's got to get out of that in a hurry. But I'll take Arizona while Nick rolls with the Los Angeles Rams. The final game of the week, the Jacksonville Jaguars early game in London playing their home game at Wembley Stadium, 6:30 a.m. Pacific time on CBS against the Indianapolis Colts. Andrew Luck looking a lot better last week against the San Diego Chargers and getting that come-from-behind win. Indianapolis over Jacksonville. Both Nick and I have Indy. It'll be a great game. I wish I were in London for this game, but unfortunately, alas, on Saturday, I will be the best man at my best friend's wedding, so I cannot travel this weekend. I'm going to be doing plenty of traveling here at home, actually. Can't wait. Matt, if you're listening, congratulations, buddy. Cannot wait to be there by your side when you get married. Congratulations again, big guy. There you go. We both have Indy, and we'll move on to games of interest. Okay, okay, here we go. First game of interest. We'll start an afternoon game, 1:25 p.m. Pacific time on Fox. The Dallas Cowboys traveling to San Francisco to play the San Francisco 49ers. We have 2-1 Dallas, 1-2 San Francisco. Cowboys will most likely be without the services of wide receiver Dez Bryant, but both Nick and I seem to like Dallas. They are on a roll with this young Dak Prescott. He just keeps getting better. I don't know if you all know, but he has the record for the most consecutive pass attempts without an interception by a rookie quarterback. That right now, by the way, stands at 99 pass attempts. No INTs. That's pretty impressive. He's run for a couple of touchdowns. He's now thrown his first touchdown pass. He's doing it all. And if Ezekiel Elliott continues to rush for 140 yards every week, I don't see how the Cowboys lose many games. I do think he will eventually have to throw the ball further than 20 yards down the field. The problem with Dak and this offense that the Dallas Cowboys are running, it's very conservative, and he does not throw a deep ball. In the last 2 weeks, he's thrown one pass that's traveled past 20 yards. One in two games. That's not going to get it done in the NFL. So that is my forewarning and my foreshadowing for all of the lovers of Dak Prescott. Yeah, that's fine right now when you're playing the Chicago Bears and the Washington Redskins. But later on, when you play the Vikings and the Bengals and the Steelers, you're going to have to take some shots down the field. It's about time that Jason Garrett takes the handcuffs off of this kid. Let's rev up the engine. You've had three games where you've kind of been driving down the highway at 45 miles per hour. Jason, take the handcuffs off. Let's rev the engine up. Get him up to 65, 70 miles per hour. You know what? Heck, let's get him out on the highway. Drive from L.A. to Vegas, out on the 15 highway, and just take him up to 85 miles per hour. Let's let him go. Let's let him go. Enough of these dink and dunk passes. Throw the ball down the field. You've got Bryce Butler, one of the fastest guys on the team. Send him deep. You got Terrence Williams. Send him deep. And trust me, those deep coverages with these wide receivers on the outside, they're going to be one-on-one because everybody's going to be eyeing on Dez or Zeke Elliott coming out of the backfield. Take advantages now. Let's see what you got now before Romo comes back. Because eventually, when you start playing these elite teams, you will have to throw the football down the field. But for now, I like Dallas over San Francisco, and so does Nick. Moving on, Monday Night Football, 5:30 p.m. Pacific Time on ESPN. The Minnesota Vikings host the New York Giants. This is really a game of interest because I want to see if the Minnesota Vikings can get after Eli Manning and make him force passes into coverage. Better yet, knock him around a little bit. Maybe make him turn the ball over a couple times because Eli became a turnover machine last week against the Washington Redskins. So much so that Odell Beckham Jr. was so upset. Not at Josh Norman. You would think that if Odell Beckham Jr. was going to get into a fight, it's going to be against Josh Norman, the cornerback of the Washington Redskins. You know who he fought against? The kicking net. That's right. The kickers, they have this kicking net where they're off on the sideline and they kick the ball into the net so they don't, you know, kick it into the stands or hurt anybody or kick it into the teammates. The net catches the ball and then they try it again and they kind of warm up kicking the football. It's a kicking net. Well, Odell Beckham Jr. came off the sideline. He was a little upset, and he smacked his helmet against the kicking net, and the kicking net whacked him in the face. That's funny. I can't wait for it. Come on, man. Oh, I missed it. I missed Monday Football. Can I? Because that had to have been a part of the come on, man. Odell Beckham Jr. There's a meme now. It's out there. Odell Beckham Jr. versus the kicking net. And I can't believe. Why would you do something so stupid? I can understand you said, hold your emotions in check, Odell Beckham Jr. Just keep it cool, keep calm. But I'm not gonna lie. I laughed when I saw the kicking net smack him in the mouth. And you know that had to hurt, people. You know that had to hurt because that is like metal holding up that kicking net. That's not like no little cheap plastic or aluminum. That's full-on metal. That had to hurt, that taking it into the jaw there for Odell Beckham. We both have Minnesota. I got Minnesota. I think that defense gets after Eli Manning. I saw what the Redskins defense did to Eli Manning. They made him become happy feet. He kind of started skilling around, threw a couple picks, was stripped of the ball. It's just not good. Not good there in New York Giants. I know everybody was very happy for New York. They had that 2-0 start, but I see them, after losing last week to Washington, losing again this week to the Minnesota Vikings. Next game of interest, the Seattle Seahawks travel all the way across the country to play against the New York Jets. Here's the thing. We both have Seattle. The Jets and Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I don't know when the New York Jets will ever get it through their thick hull. Thick hull? The thick hull or the thick skull? They'll never get it through their thick skull there in the New York Jet front offense. You're just not going to win many games with Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's a serviceable quarterback. I will give you that. He is serviceable. He'll do what he has to do to get you through the season. But ultimately, you're not winning many playoff games with him. You're certainly not getting to a Super Bowl with him. That's just that. Six picks. That speaks for itself. I've got Seattle. Nick's got Seattle. All right, the Oakland Raiders travel to Baltimore to face the Baltimore Ravens. 10 a.m. early game on CBS. Here's another possible challenge game. I think this will be the challenge game if I'm reading this correctly from Nick. He's got the Baltimore Ravens. Says Baltimore at home is just a little bit better than Oakland on the road. I've got the Oakland Raiders. I think this is going to be my special upset special of the week. I think Oakland's getting really good. They're starting to play a little bit more confident on the road. It used to be like they were very confident at home. Now it seems like they're on the road and they're very confident. 17-10 win over Tennessee. Not huge, but definitely they took the lead early. They got the crowd out of it. I expect them to do the same against Baltimore. That defense will get after Flacco. They will take an early lead, and they will hang on to win. I like the Raiders. Nick likes Baltimore. He says, this is definitely probably going to be the challenge game, but let's see what else we differ on. Okay. Denver at Tampa Bay is the final game of interest. The defending Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos traveling to Tampa Bay to face the Buccaneers. The Bucs are this year's version of Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. One day you're going to see a very, very capable football team. The next day, not so much. This is going to be one of those not so much days. That Denver defense is legit sick, man. It is just what powers the team. Forget that, you know, Trevor Siemian threw four touchdown passes last week against the Cincinnati Bengals. Forget all that. The fact of the matter is this Denver defense is legit. They get after you in many different ways. I think they will confuse the young Jameis Winston. The running game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers isn't there right now. I like Denver to win and win big, and so does Nick. And that brings us to the nap games, where I'm just going to give you quick picks. Nap game number one. Detroit at Chicago. I've got the Detroit Lions. Nick has the Chicago Bears. Tennessee Titans travel to Houston to face the Houston Texans. I really want to take Tennessee in this football game, but I cannot ignore the fact that last year the Houston Texans beat the Tennessee Titans 54-12 in the combined score of the two games. So Houston won both of them by a combined score of 54-12. That's not good. But, of course, you know, what kind of impact is losing J.J. Watt for the season going to have on that defense? They certainly did nothing last week against the New England Patriots, but that's the other thing. They're a little upset. They got embarrassed on national television. Big, fat zero goose egg they led on Thursday Night Football. They're not going to want to do that again. They'll definitely get after Mariota. Tennessee's chances to win this game will be in running the football. If they can get after it with DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry, then they will be okay. But I just don't see how they get it done on the road. If this were in Tennessee, I'd take the Titans. But on the road at Houston, we'll stick with Houston, and so will Nick. The Cleveland Browns travel to Washington to face the Washington Redskins in our nation's capital. 10 a.m. early game on CBS. We're both taking the Washington Redskins. Want to believe in the Cleveland Browns. Terrell Pryor was definitely an eye-opener last week. He played admirably. He did just about everything he could to win that football game for the Cleveland Browns, but he cannot do it alone. Someone has to come up and step up and help, and that might be Josh Gordon, who comes out of suspension. Unfortunately, he doesn't come back from suspension until next week. He's not available this week against Washington, so I'll go with the Redskins, who now have gotten off the snide. They got their first win last week against the Giants, feeling a little bit good about themselves. Nobody's bickering about Kirk Cousins and how he's the people that nobody likes in the locker room. He's going to be all right. I'm going to go with Washington, and so is Nick. But we do have one final game that we differ on. The final nap game, New Orleans Saints at San Diego Chargers. Chargers just, they keep finding unique ways to lose football games. That's all I can say about San Diego, is that they are the kings. As a matter of fact, the San Diego Superchargers are the kings of snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. Is it the other way around? Snatching defeat from the jaws of victory? One of those. It's one of those. But that's what they're kings of. They've got the victory in hand, and they somehow manage to lose it. So I guess that would make them the kings of snatching defeat from the jaws of victory, because they get defeated all the time. They've got the jaws of victory. They're going to win, and they find a way to just mess up enough to wind up in defeat. And that's the San Diego Chargers. But not this week. They're at home. Afternoon game. Going to be beautiful in San Diego. I've got the Chargers to win this one. And I'll tell you why. Because it's not so much that I believe so much in the San Diego Chargers. It's just I do have absolutely no belief in the New Orleans Saints. They're 0-3, and they're 0-3 for a reason. They're bad defensively. I don't care how good Drew Brees is. I don't care what great weapons he has in Cooks and Mark Ingram and Kobe Fleener and everybody that he throws the ball to. If the defense can't stop anybody, the Saints aren't winning any football games. And you know what? The San Diego Chargers, the last time they were at home, they put up 28 points before the Jacksonville Jaguars even stepped onto the field. And that's going to happen again this week. Phillip Rivers is going to have a big game before the New Orleans Saints even know what's going on. They're going to be down 3-4 touchdowns, and it's going to be game over because that's how bad that New Orleans defense is. I feel sorry for Breeze, but I can't say it any clearer than that. The defense is just pitiful. They're bad. They are 0-3 for a reason, friends. They cannot stop anybody, and they won't stop the San Diego Chargers. Melvin Gordon will have a big game running the football. Phillip Rivers will have a big game throwing the football. San Diego comes out on top. Now, Nick disagrees with me. He's got the New Orleans Saints. He says Drew Brees will bounce back over the team that let him go. Yeah, well, that was a long time ago. I don't think he can hold a grudge that long. Maybe he does, but I don't think he goes into San Diego and lights it up. I like the Chargers to win. And Nick is going to make the Oakland Raider-Baltimore Raven game the challenge game. Nick and the fans will have the Baltimore Ravens at home. I will have the Oakland Raiders on the road, and that is the challenge game. Folks, that's all the time I have for you. Thank you for continuing to listen to NFL Rants and Raves. After 3 weeks of football, it's getting pretty close, but I think I'm now getting a pulse on most of these teams. Like I say, right now, really, Buffalo and Arizona are the two teams that I still need to watch them a little bit more closely to understand what we got there. But I think I've pretty much got a lock in on the rest of the league. We'll see. But you've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Stephen Miranda. I thank you for coming out. We'll talk to you soon. I'm out.